Welcome into 11 Personnel presented by Monticello Bank. In business, serving your community for 128 years. They're all over the place. And they're wherever you go, in your pocket, with the GoNBC mobile app or by visiting nbcbank.com. Monticello Bank, it's where people matter. They're going to put you first, put the dollars and cents on your side to make your dreams come true. Whatever your financing needs are, whether you're buying a new home like Mr. Luckett or buying a new car like I just did, Monticello Bank, I'll take good care of you. Appreciate all of their fine work at Monticello Bank, where people matter. Member FDIC. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. This is 11 Personnel, and Fall Camp is officially, we're in the meat and potatoes of it, Mr. Luckett. We're in the meat and potatoes of it. And we haven't hit an adult spot yet. We haven't had the Mark Stoops is ripping everybody's ass portion of the podcast yet, or not podcast, of preseason camp yet, but we have started to hear some things from fall camp, started to get some positive reports. Look at, I'm at the point too where I'm just like trying to temper expectations on myself, because I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse.
This is my least favorite time of the year. Start right now, these next 2 weeks. Because it becomes Soviet Union Cold War, trying to get anything. Like, we had a nice little fun first week. Everybody's being a little chummy. But, you know, the coaches talk about the players getting hot and a little mentally fatigued. They get a little mentally fatigued when they have to deal with our ass these next 2 weeks. So this is honestly my least favorite part of the year, just because it's just your hands are tied. Most of the hay is in the barn at this point, Nick. Now we're just waiting for really game week to get here. The game week is when it starts getting fun again. But right now we're just kind of playing the waiting game.
We're grinding. But we have heard some good early reports from practice. The most encouraging thing, and it seems too to be kind of syncing up with what people are talking about around camp. And they did the first situational stuff to start the week, and in 2-minute offense, they crushed it. They absolutely crushed it. Devin Leary was passing with precision, hitting targets all over the place, and they executed. And that was a point of weakness during Liam Cohen 1.0. It was something that, he was almost exasperated out of joy because they finally got a little 2-minute offense and won in the ball game in the Citrus Bowl, because that was their weakness all year. Now they've got a quarterback who has a fast processor and is able to go quick, pick apart defenses. It's once again reinforcing what we thought about Devin Leary. He's doing that in fall camp.
Yeah, I think this subject or topic right here, Nick, is really like, how's Mark Stoops going to handle this? How's he going to handle the tempo if they need to play fast? How is he going to handle if they want to throw the ball around? How are they going to handle if it hits them early that Leary's just best in playing more sandlot ball, just spreading it out and dinking and dunking and letting him spin the ball? How does he handle that? That's one of my biggest questions of the season. Because, you know, you might not – like, this might not be time of possession year, right? You know, you want to win the time of possession battle and want to run the ball more and play keep away and all that. This might not be the year for it.
Well, Mark,
you got to play to your personnel, right? Go ahead.
He said the rule changes aren't going to affect him that much. Maybe though, he is a little bit more lenient because the clock is going to keep rolling, even if you are passing the ball. You know, like it's NFL rules.
As long as you're throwing completions, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So maybe that's a way that does enable them to do that. But that is, I think I mentioned it. I don't know. We talked about it early on in the year, and it does feel like that stuff is coming to fruition. You know, like the big question mark of will Stoops be able to handle the sort of aerial attack? It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen at some point.
Yeah. I mean, we're just gonna have to wait and see how that plays out. But we all know the offense is just going to be different. The strengths are different. The weaknesses are different. Stoops is even kind of alluding to, Nick, that it's going to be different than like their ground and pound typical approach this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to just have to be have a different right, like different way they go about things. And so what my question is just what does that look like when it's it's a close game in the third quarter or whatever, you know? Like, do you go back to old you stay out of your comfort zone, or you go back to old reliable? And so we're going to find out here pretty soon.
Seed says Stoops and Cohen said they trust each other. So he's going to have to put a lot of trust in him. They're going to have to put a lot of trust in Devin Leary. And I don't know if I've heard a bad word about Devin Leary. I'm hard-pressed to find one. The folks who are privy to watch him practice – It's just making the passing game routine. It felt like it was like pulling teeth to try to get the aerial attack off the ground for so many years. And now it's just effortless. And he's finding guys all over the field. And I know at least from a defensive perspective, like it should make those guys better as well. But I think it's one of those things too that it's so weird being in the position they're in, because typically this time of year, there's some sort of quarterback something, and Devin Leary is just checking all the right boxes so far.
Yeah, they've seemed pleasantly pleased with the progress he's made to this point. And expectations are growing, I think, for the offense. I think the offensive line looked better at the open practice. We obviously know about the weapons. I think they like their running back room and everything they have there. I think they really like their tight end room and the versatility they have in that room. And they like what Leary can do. And I think a lot of it, Nick, is just the decision-making and just the consistency.
Yes, which are two – like, that. Those are the most boring things like it, but they're so critical, you know. They sound like coaching cliches, but it's nice when you don't have to worry about that in it. And it manifests in the form of executing in crunch time when it matters most, something that Kentucky could have certainly used at Ole Miss last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mean, if you break it down Will Levis's game, they have different strengths, him and Leary. Levis' decision-making processing I don't think was ever a strength for him. And that's still something he's working to improve even at the next level. Where Leary, I think that's more of a strength. Now, Levis obviously has the physical tools and traits and run ability that Leary doesn't have. And Levis could hit smaller window throws when he was on that Leary probably can't hit with his arm. But does the decision-making, does that allow you to have more success more consistently? And that's something we're going to find out. But this is also a deeper receiver room than Levis had in 2021 under Cohen. And they're obviously... they're just going to be better this year because everybody's back and they've got another year of experience.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Quick apologies to – I had a little – my AirPods were the mic. That wasn't supposed to be what was happening. But we got it fixed, especially for our friend Kay. Kay is in the YouTube chat. And I've been a Kentucky girl ever since I was born there in 1940. Love my cats. That's from Kay. And do we – Do we have an actual 83-year-old watching on YouTube? No offense, Kay, but I didn't know 83-year-olds watched on YouTube. I know my parents, they are not that old. They can't figure out how to watch shows on YouTube. So shout out to you, Kay, for getting it done. That's impressive. That's execution right there. And as Mark Stoops likes to say, Adam Luckett, if you're not willing to adapt, you're going to like being irrelevant even less.
Yeah, that just gets back to the two-minute stuff and playing to your strengths. And as Freddie always says, it's not personal, it's personnel. Kentucky's got to use their personnel on offense in the right way this year.
Do we have
But any... I will say, Nick, I will say I do feel better about the offense after just a week and what I've seen. I do feel better than I did 2 weeks ago.
Is it because of... Devin Leary, is it the offensive line, all of the above?
I think Leary's hitting important checkpoints. He's been everything they thought he would be going into the season. And I think the offensive line looking competent against Kentucky's defensive front was a big thing for me on Saturday.
Especially in the run game. That was nice. And seeing the running backs show some explosiveness and show an ability to define the seam, right, and make some plays on the outside. I know we've talked about it ad nauseum, but, you know, I do think this is the year the tight ends and running backs are actually going to be a critical part of the passing game. A lot of it's going to be out of necessity because you've got four receivers you can trust right now. That's it. Right? I mean, maybe five with Dekel Crowdis. You know, like that. There's not a lot there. So those running backs and tight ends are going to have to be involved. And if I had to pick a – did not see this coming, it's Demi Sumo-Karembe. Like he could – I know a lot of folks are going to talk about Cummings, but the tight end group, it's – I feel like DSK could end up becoming our – he could be that running back like it. We talked about potential breakthrough players. He could be that one that does emerge as a big-time role player for this program.
Yeah, I think he'll have a clear, defined role throughout the season for Kentucky. How that kind of plays out, we'll have to see. But, yeah, he's definitely going to be a piece that they use in multiple different ways.
One thing we hinted at a little bit, but we didn't really dive into, we're not going to go full Sean Payton and just say that Rich Scangarello is the worst thing that's ever happened to the Kentucky football program. But, whew, Every time you talk about what was wrong previously, it just, yeah. Did you see the quote from Dane about learning how to be receivers?
I did.
Instead of just running around like we got our heads cut off, like chickens with our heads cut off. That was.
I saw Scott Woodward was getting interviewed by our friend Jeff Drummond over at Cats Illustrated, and his thing was like Rich was more. Like, let them figure it out. They're pros. Don't be super strict on how they need to do things.
Don't coach them.
and Cohen is very much strict on, like, this is how you do it. This is how we need you to do it. So I found that interesting.
Well, and, you know, I don't know how that manifests itself, but... maybe you have a little bit of a tighter leash on some of the stuff. I don't know. I don't know what that means for those guys, but they're certainly being asked of more. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. I also found some of the comments about, I mean, we had already heard some of the stuff about the offensive line at SEC Media Days, but to see it in practice, I mean, to see just... Turns out Kentucky had some good players last year. They just didn't know what the hell they were doing. Like, it's plain and simple. Or
playing out of position.
That too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to break it down, like, Jagger Burton was playing too early.
Yeah.
He was playing, I mean, he played 13 games, started all every game, played like 700, 800 snaps. He was just playing too early. Eli Cox was playing center. That just wasn't a good fit. Kenneth Horsey is much better guard than he is tackle. You just had guys playing out of position. And so I think that is helping a lot, getting those two back at guard and locking that down. Especially for a center to have two experienced guys right around you is going to help a lot. And That's then true. Tackle, you had Marcus Cox, who's just played a lot of football. He's Mr. Reliable, is a legit NFL draft prospect. So you've got... If you put that all together, you've got some pieces there. Now you just have to – your scheme needs to go out and let these guys play good football. And I think we're seeing that at least so far. I mean, it's we're talking about one practice. It's I mean, it's hard, right, but it's right, all we right. got right now.
And I do think it's fair, too, that we're talking a lot of offense. We haven't really heard from the defense in a hot minute.
The defense is boring in a good way. Like – Am I worried about the defensive line? No. Am I worried about linebacker if 54 and 32 are out there? No. Am I worried about edge if JJ's out there playing with heavy hands like he always does? No. Am I worried if Keaton Wade has to play some or Alex Farr needs to play some Sam? No. Am I worried about the safeties? Zion Childress, Jalen Geiger, love it? No. Andrew Phillips, I have a lot of faith in. And then they got four guys competing for that other corner spot.
Harrison looked pretty good the other day.
And they've got a good the guy I think is on the headset, but then the play calls in. I think he's pretty good too. So I'm just not worried about the defense very much. I know it's kind of boring. They're going to be good. I have high confidence in that. And so we're not really talking about them, but I don't know what to say about them other than, you know, I think they're going to be pretty good.
Curious to hear what Brad White's going to say. He'll be speaking tomorrow afternoon. That'll take place around noon. They've been practicing in the mornings. Lucky will be there with Stephen Peak. You'll have plenty. You'll be able to see everything they, coaches and players, have to say right here on the KSR YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, come on. Come on. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? There's no time to waste at all. And if you ain't got time to waste and you need to get tickets, look at, you know what the fastest and quickest way to get tickets is?
That would be the Game Time app.
Aha! That is correct. So if you haven't downloaded it, just do it. It's very simple. You look up Game Time, you hit the download button, you put in your email, bada boom, bada bam, you've got access to any event in your vicinity, no matter where you are. They're going to be the best, easiest, most efficient way to get tickets to sporting events, concerts, comedy shows. I've seen some comedy shows popping up around here, Luckett, and I'm not the biggest stand-up guy on Netflix, but I like stand-up in person, so I've got to get the Game Time app. I've got to use promo code KSR when I check out, and you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. So that's a heck of a deal. Heck of a deal.
Can't beat it.
Especially, like, I mean, so a lot of these concerts, like up at Iroquois Amphitheater, I think they're like $30. You're basically just going for free. So download the Game Time app before you go. If you're looking for Kentucky football tickets to single game, they've got them all right there. Download the Game Time app. Use promo code KSR for $20 off, or visit gametime.co on your computer or desktop to find the fastest and easiest, most efficient way to buy tickets with our friends at Game Time. Maybe if they're strolling around Kroger Field with tickets in hand, maybe in a few years they might be bumping into a Mark Stoops statue. Love that Rich Brooks is joining this bandwagon, Lucky, because I feel like we've been on it for quite some time.
Yeah. How do you feel about current coaches having a statue?
So, it depends. At Alabama, they just, if you win a national championship, you get one.
Right.
Because even the, like, one guy who had the one, Gene Stallings,
yeah.
Like, he has one, and I'm sure they put it up right. So, that makes sense, but I do think it's any sort of statue building, you kind of got to go away, because the point of the statue is you bring them back and you celebrate them.
It's like a memorial type thing.
Yeah. You're celebrating the success of the past. Now, if it's 10 years from now and we're going on year 23 of Mark Stoops and he doesn't have his son running the punting first offense – like that Kirk Ferentz has got going into Iowa, then I might maybe make an exception. Like, you know, he's been here for 25 years. If he's been here for that long, then it's, you know, I'm sure things are going pretty well. So I think those are my two exceptions. But I'm not going to do it right now. We got plenty. He gets enough praise, and he's also, like, he likes being thought of highly, but I think it would be a little bit too much bluster for Mark Stoops to have a statue of himself outside of the Kroger right now.
Yeah, my first thought on it, of course, we're talking about Rich Brooks' comments on the KSR pre-show, which is saying they should build a statue for Mark Stoops. What he's done there is remarkable, paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think that's something we should probably wait on. Where would they even put it?
I would like it to be like the Korean War Memorial, where it's just statues everywhere. So we just make the Gate 12 Plaza the Plaza of Champions, and we just have statues over there. We can have Tim Couch. He could be throwing a pass to Lynn Bowden. We get a Benny Snell on his knees and, like, Josh Allen, like, patting him on the shoulders, like, good job. Like, statues everywhere. Love a good statue. Love a good statue off. We've at least moving past the part where we're tearing down a bunch, but I thought that was great. Big shout out to. It's also good just to know that real recognizes real, like
yes,
that I think is. You. It was kind. It's kind of weird when you had Cal and Cal would reach back out to Joe B, but the other coach before in between him, it's kind of a weird relationship there. So it's just good to have everybody seemingly on the same page throughout the Mark Stoops regime, and that has not always been the case for Kentucky football.
The worst thing about the Mummy era wasn't necessarily that Kentucky got caught cheating and put on probation. It was that he kind of brainwashed, I think, a lot of people into believing you needed smoke and mirrors to win here. And that was a hard thing to get over for a lean decade, and then Brooks comes in. Kind of proves you don't need that, but you're probably going to need a really good quarterback.
Yep.
And good coaching. But talent's always going to be an issue. Like, your talent-wise, way behind the eight ball.
Well, think about how many Kentucky guys were on that team, too, where they just struck gold. Yeah.
Right. Jacob Tammy, Keenan Burton.
Corey Peters.
List goes on. I mean, the list goes on and on. Marcus McClinton, Micah Johnson.
Yeah.
Andre Woodson.
Right. I mean.
We could just go forever. But what Stoops has done, it's kind of a similar mold to Brooks in a lot of ways to me. But he's just kind of raised the talent accumulation ceiling. And obviously the portal's helping too now, but he didn't have that for a while.
Yeah, and he also got some investment too. I think age helped.
That,
you know,
too.
Rich's second go around, right? Like, he pulled him out of retirement from his tomato garden, which I think Coach Brooks would be proud of the tomatoes I pulled out of my garden today, Luckett. I had a plethora.
Yeah, I just
it
think
almost immediately to the podcast.
I just think those two in general have provided the blueprint for how you do it here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was like wanting to play football on grass or whatever.
Basketball on grass, yeah.
Basketball on grass, excuse me. That just wasn't, you know. And if you're going to do that, you needed to hire Leach because he's the best at it. Everyone else is not as good.
Yep.
You tried it outside of really, you know, tradition. You know, a lot of them have gotten away. What they got good was when they got away from old school, blah, 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 air raid. Mm-hmm. So I think that's Brooks gets the first credit for that, and I think Stoops kind of leveled it up. It just, we had the rough 3-year tenure between the two, right, when Joker took over.
That was rough.
But those two guys have, to me, they've kind of figured out the secret sauce, or so to say, of how you kind of win here. And it's not by trying to play a different sport. Triple option or whatever. You can win legitimate. You can be a legitimate program here, doing it the good old fashioned way.
Which I think both of them like old fashions. Another thing they share in common.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the ticket. Right. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just liking the brown water.
Yeah, it's good for you. It's good for the soul. We don't have a ton of guests on our show. Paul Feinbaum does. I know Devin Leary was on today, but yesterday, Greg Sankey came on, made some news, broke his silence for the first time since SEC Media Days, and realignment chaos seemingly ensued with Colorado leaving, and then Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, Oregon. You had this mass breakup, and I like that he included some pot shots at the Big Ten. You know, we don't need to be in four time zones to have to matter, which I thought was a good line here and there. But the two biggest takeaways that Sankey shared, it was one, we're not in a rush to go looking for other schools. Like, we're well aware of what's happening, but we're not shopping for more. We like our 16. And two, he's a big part of the college football playoff and formulating that 12-team group. Pac-12 goes away, what they've agreed to and how they're going to seed things, that's probably going to change too. So it took them long enough to figure out a format like it. I don't know how they're going to find a new one to agree to in just a year's time, but Conference realignment is certainly going to at least get that conversation going, so that we might just not have automatic bids at all, which I would be perfectly okay with, because conference championship games, it was fun early on, Luckett, but I mean, we're past that now. Now it's just a money grab. Like that, you don't even have divisions you're playing in anymore to get like a true conference champion. I mean, that just feels like a relic of. Those are going to go by the wayside with a 12-team playoff. Like, what do you need that for? That was a de facto playoff game, so why even have it? I mean, they're only going to keep it just as a revenue grab.
I think the playoff is the kicker here. That's, to me, the first domino, as far as the SEC is concerned, is what is that? What do they agree on? They stay at 12? They go down to 8? Go down to 6? Go to 16. I mean, I think a lot of stuff's on the table. At-large bids, non-at-large bids, how you kind of manage that whole thing is going to be important for the SEC. And then once they figure that out, then the SEC's got to figure out, do we want to add some teams or not? The teams they would probably add, Nick, are in the ACC. North Carolina, Virginia, Clemson, Florida State. They've got that grant of rights till 2036. Florida State's making a lot of noise right now. They're trying to get J.P. Morgan and Chase to bail them out.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. We're not far from the public investment fund maybe getting involved in college football.
Right, right.
If the Noles have anything to say about it. But they're just kind of – they're up you-know-what's creek without a paddle right now. ACC schools are. I don't know – everything I've kind of researched on it, you just can't get out of the thing. Like, you're screwed because you're not going to have any rights and you got to pay a big buyout. And the buyout's not even the hard thing. It's that they own their rights for how long? Like, that the ACC owns their rights, so you can't make any money. So you have to pay the buyout, and then you just can't make any money. So how do they get out of that? Now there's talks that with ACC, which I thought was kind of just a bunch of BS. Like, they were just talking to Stanford and Cal and then SMU just to, like, for Jim Phillips to go to his presidents and say, look what I'm doing. I'm trying here to find more revenue streams. But it sounded like that might actually have legs.
Interesting. So the SMU thing was bizarre to me because SMU was willing to just waive 5 years of revenue from the ACC just to, like, say they're in the ACC.
They're sick of waiting. They just want to get in somewhere. And it also got reported that SMU and San Diego State were going to get invites that Friday from the Pac-12. Like, the Pac-12 was going to have that meeting. They were going to agree to the Apple deal. They were going to sign a grant of rights, and then they were going to add two teams. They were going to add San Diego State, and they were going to add SMU. But that fell apart because Oregon bolted and Washington followed them. And so now that conference is like a goner, right?
Yeah,
and so they just want to get it. They're mad because the Big 12 didn't take them. I think Houston and some of the other Texas schools maybe were just like, we don't need them. There's no real spot for them in the Big 12. They already got a bunch of Texas schools. They're not getting in the SEC. So they just want to get somewhere. And the ACC is now the best chance to get somewhere. So they have a lot of money. They've got a lot of oil money. So I think that probably plays into that, but we got to see how the ACC shakes out. I don't know what that's going to look like, and what will that extra how much? I don't imagine it's going to be a lot, because all they're going to get out of that is the after dark window for Cal and Stanford. Essentially, they're going to get ESPN, I would assume, to throw them a couple more bones. But how much is that even going to
move the needle? Yeah,
right. How are you just are you throwing very little at the problem if you do that? I mean, it's a debt. It's like if you have $50,000 in debt, are you just paying $500 off? How much is that helping?
No, you're exactly right.
But it's not going away, because Florida State, real quick, they have till August 15th, so a week from yesterday. We're recording on Wednesday, August 9th, to let the ACC know if they're going to be in there in 2024 or not. Because if they don't, then another fine like really ramps up. So they kind of have to make a move now. So things can either get settled right quick, for at least for a year, and then we can do this dance next summer. or they have to let, or they have to go now. And so that's something we're going to find out here in the coming days.
What's crazy is it doesn't seem like anybody really cares that much or wants them that much. So I guess they're going to be stuck. And in all of it, it's just wild to me that the ACC is like, we're going to have this. Everything else is moving parts except for the ACC because they have this locked down, I don't even know how to put it, contract. So it that grant of rights is a steel cage. Nobody's got the key. And
they're just handcuffed. I mean,
yeah.
Put it simply.
They're absolutely stuck. So, but enough realignment talk. We got a little bit into the weeds there some. But let's get into the weeds a little bit here with what's happening elsewhere around the SEC. A lot of Graham Mertz hype right now, Luckett. Are we falling for it? Are we falling for the Graham Mertz hype?
I just think that he's going to be their starter, and that's probably going to be announced. They have their scrimmage on Thursday, Nick, which they're moved up 2 days from Kentucky because they play on that opening Thursday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Napier on that day, or maybe a couple days after, he's going to announce Mertz as a starter. He's getting all the reps with the ones, according to Gators Online, or on three site. So, yeah, Graham Mertz is going to be Florida's starting quarterback for the week one game against Utah. So, expect that. And then, over at South Carolina, Nick, Juice Wells hasn't practiced yet. They're saying it's kind of soft tissue type thing. Like,
we've heard that before.
Precaution, yeah. But also, South Carolina, the Kerryon Joyner is like legitimately their running back one right now.
Yeah, RB
one, which is fascinating because I never thought like of him as being like this super duper athlete that could do all these things. But I mean,
so to Kerryon Joyner,
good enough for him right now.
If you don't remember the name, he was their Lynn Bowden, played receiver. Was a high school quarterback.
Yeah, but like,
and then
like
they had to put him in
good.
A Wildcat. Yeah. Not near as good as Lynn Bowden. That's a good way to put it. Because he hasn't been in that running game, but out of necessity, when they had to promote the GA to be their starter, he took a lot of snaps for him that year. So now he's their RB1 because all their running backs left. Just don't have any.
And they missed on a bunch of portal targets.
Like Demi Sumo-Carbe.
And then the guy that transferred from Notre Dame to LSU, Logan Diggs, and I think a couple others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the running back's rough shape. Offensive line is a huge, huge, huge question mark for them. But they did catch a break because North Carolina added Tez Walker, who's a transfer from Kent State, a receiver. Had a big year last year in the MAC. All early reports were he was going to be a dude, like potential all-ACC type guy for Drake May. Like Drake May's number one target at UNC. But he needed a waiver to play, and he didn't get it. And they thought he was going to get it, but the NCAA has pretty much cracked down on the waiver stuff.
Just never thought I was going to see that day.
You're going to get the one free transfer, but that's pretty much it. I mean, and even Walker, I think he went home because he had a sick grandma or mom or something. And that used to be a slam dunk. They used to always give them out for that. But it's not like that anymore. They're really, I think, tightening the screws on that.
Interesting.
And
I've loved hearing the kind of outcry, both positive and negative, from Matt McGavick's tweet about Louisville getting in fights and practicing doing up-downs. That just amused me.
And the LSU one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because it's very strong takes on both sides and whether they it's good or a bad thing. I'm pro fighting. We know that. Like, I've made that abundantly clear. But I love the reaction from it because, I mean, it's football. Like, it's August. They're going to need to be broken up.
I mean, did people not watch Hard Knocks? Do not pay attention to NFL training camp at all? Today, Bengals Packers had an intra squad scrimmage today, and Elkton Jenkins punched DJ Reader.
And
apparently Reader gave it an Undertaker type sale. they just get in these scuffles. I mean, it just happens when you're
yeah.
I mean,
They're wearing full pads. It's not like they're beating each other up.
I do think people overreact to the fighting. Like, these fights happen, and they're nothing. Brian Kelly even said yesterday, he was like, well, 18, 21-year-olds, you'd be surprised how fast they can move on. You hug it out, and then it's done for the most part.
The biggest thing, like, is the retaliation. Like, that would be – I'd be more pissed that you had to do up-downs or had to run afterwards than – the fighting part, you know?
We never got any really reports on who was fighting at Louisville's practice, which I would have liked to know. But now over there, I mean, I think there's real excitement about receivers and secondary, which there should be with how many guys they added from the transfer portal. That those both should be positions of strength for them this season. So there's a lot of excitement about that.
I'm going to go over and do a little Oppo research. I got two more open practices. Might as well check one out, right? Right. Shout out to Ray, who's listening from Panama City. Wish I was there right now.
Which Panama City, you think?
The Florida one.
You think he's at Pineapple Willie's?
Is it weird? I've never been to Panama City Beach.
I've only been once.
Somehow it's continuously evaded me. But, yeah. Beach sounds pretty nice right now, but you know what? We're in the middle of the grind. It's never stopping. Quite literally, it feels like that. The last few days, like, I've done the, like, takes a break to hang out with kids for 2 hours, then gets back on the blog. And last night doing that, it was fun because it ran seamlessly right into turning on Hard Knocks, which Hard Knocks sucks, man. Like, it was the Aaron Rodgers show. I hated it. Like,
I hadn't planned on watching it, but I probably will eventually. But I can usually only do two episodes of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. I mean, they don't do football. Like, and I want to see the football. Like, give me more Sauce Gardner versus Garrett Wilson.
Well,
don't give
I
me
just,
celebrities, you know?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, after the second episode, it gets into who's going to make the 53-man, essentially.
And they're
showing preseason games. You just get... To me, I never make it through a full one. It's always...
Oh, I never have either.
First two.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I feel like I've watched one cut one. It was the Browns. I think I watched that one. That was probably the only one I've done start to finish, but because I just got HBO. So like I was locked in, but you're right. It's any of these preseason shows is just enough to get you hungry for more football. I don't need help getting hungrier for football. I'm already starving, which I think now is just a good time to save. We got to do the win total show next week. We got to.
I was cooking up some betting content this week at KSR Plus.
Oh.
Join now for the fastest growing community on the internet.
Yep.
But yeah, I had some nice little picks. I've got conference winners. I got division winners. I got a player prop in there. I got conference win total odds. Nick, right now you can get Kentucky over 3.5 SEC wins for +100.
It's pretty good juice. Pretty good juice. I think I don't know what the juice is on the Chiefs to win the division, but I just want to bet that. Feels like
The time to play that was last year because I think they weren't even the favorite going into the season,
which is crazy. Betting division winners is fun. Like I might have to pick some of those to sprinkle in there with our win totals, but
yeah.
We'll each get a handful of football picks.
The Jags was the one I liked last year.
Now I don't have a good beat on who's going to be the surprise team.
I like the Falcons and the NFC South.
Who's going to be the team that wins the East? Because they haven't had back-to-back
AFC?
Winners. No, NFC
or
East.
NFC East.
Yeah, because they haven't had back-to-back winners in forever. So, like,
it'll be the Cowboys. The Cowboys or the Eagles. I mean, those.
This would be their year, right? The Cowboys.
Unless you had a thing where the Giants or the Commanders just were like ridiculous in one-score games, kind of like the Vikings were last year.
Oh man, yep, it's getting close to football.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, yeah, There hasn't been a return winner in that division in like 12 years.
Yeah.
They haven't had back.
Yeah, I like the Falcons NFC South. I like the Lions in the North.
Lions
NFC North.
In the North.
Yeah, but
which is weird.
It's pretty close odds though.
Yeah. The other thing too that you can do is just parlay a couple of these. like three of those division winners. Maybe get a heavy favorite, you know, sprinkle the Chiefs in there or something. Yeah. So that's another fun way. But we can get all of this much more organized. Steven can get us some graphics. We can have some timers. And it's going to be a lot of fun next Wednesday when we really scratch our gambling itch live at 5 right here on the KSR YouTube channel. We appreciate y'all tuning in, hanging out in the chat. We've got a YouTube chat MVP. It's our guy, Matt G. Go Crow Green, but he is the man on the YouTube chat. Join the fun, subscribe, and don't forget our friends at Game Time, promo code KSR, and over at Monticello Bank, our presenting sponsors here at 11 Personnel. He's Adam Luckett. I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Crow Green.